Hello, I'm Gemma Nash. Welcome to our latest World Cup countdown programme as we build up to Qatar 2022, the Middle East's first World Cup, which kicks off in November. Each month, we're focusing on a different region, and this time round, it's Europe. Here to talk us through it all, we're joined in the studio by Spanish World Cup winner Javi Martinez and former Scotland striker and beIN Sports analyst Andy Gray. We'll be taking a look at the defending champions France and see how well-placed they are to do what no team has done since Brazil in 1962 and win back-to-back trophies. Cristiano Ronaldo realistically only has one shot left. Can he add a World Cup to the European Cup he won with Portugal back in 2016? And the new Premier League season has barely begun and already managers are complaining about a Winter World Cup.
It will be, for me, a huge impact emotionally and physically on the guys who go to World Cup.
So this World Cup happens at the wrong moment, for the wrong reasons.
Welcome along. Let's get straight into it as we have lots to get through in this edition of World Cup Countdown. Europe provides more teams to the tournament than any of the other continents. There are 13 in total this time around. The last four World Cup winners have been from Europe. And here's how they'll line up in November when the group stage gets underway. As you can see, there's at least one European team in each group, but no more than two. We'll take a closer look at that tasty Germany-Spain clash in Group E in just a moment. There's also a standout European encounter in Group B with England up against Wales. Well, let's bring in Javi straight away. Javi, you know what it's like to win a World Cup. You were victorious with Spain in 2010. What are your memories of that tournament?
Well, good memories, of course. We won the championship and, you know, to play a World Cup is amazing. We didn't start well. We played against Netherlands and we lost the first game. And it's not easy, the first game to lose, you know, but that made us stronger, you know, a better team. And I think that was one of the reasons why we won the championship. We come through, we play well, and of course, to play a World Cup, and I was very young, it's a dream that I can't ever dream, you know, it's something that you cannot dream. That happened, and I feel very lucky, of course.
And let's look at the current Spain squad. What are you thinking about their chances in Qatar? Do you think they have enough to win a second World Cup?
I think we have a very good team. Mm-hmm. It's true that they are a little bit young players. And it's not easy to perform in a World Cup. You know, we will have to see how they play, how they perform in such a tournament like a World Cup. But they are playing already big games with Barcelona, with Real Madrid, these young players. And we will see. I'm a big fan of the coach, of Luis Enrique. I think he can handle the team and the group very well. And we will see. I think the group is difficult, but not the toughest group. The first pick was Germany. And I said, oh my God, this is going to be tough. But I think Costa Rica and Japan, I think Spain can handle. But yes. It's a World Cup. It's one game and everything can happen. Germany is also is always a tough team. They are German. They are very very strong physically. Also, I know the coach Hansi Flick was my coach in Bayern, and he likes to play the ball. He likes to keep the ball, and I think it's going to be a fight to see who which team keeps the ball. You know, I think both teams want to have the ball, and I think that can be one of the keys of the game.
And Andy, if I can just bring you in and ask you the same question, who's going to win that game, Spain or Germany?
It's a tough one. Javi's right. It's a really tough one to predict, Gemma. The one thing you know about Germany, and I don't know how they do it, Javi, but no matter how they're playing pre-tournament, they always arrive tournament ready. You can always rely on the Germans getting to the World Cup from day one at it. I think Germany are still progressing. I don't think they're quite the finished article, but they've got some good experienced players, you know, Goretzka, Müller, these type of players. Kimmich, who are so important in a World Cup to have a bit of experience. Javi talked about the young Spanish side. So it's important that the people like Busquets, who have all the experience, and others help the young kids. And I like what they've got at the top end of the pitch, at the forwards. They've got, you know, with Havertz and Werner and Musiala and others, and Kingsley Coman and Leroy Sané. I think Germany have more options at that end of the pitch than Spain have.
Well, we're going to turn our attention now to the defending champions, France. They're in Group D alongside last year's Euro 2020 semi-finalists Denmark, Australia and Tunisia. But let's focus on Didier Deschamps' side. Natasha Butler reports from Paris.
France's 2018 World Cup victory was celebrated long and hard by French football fans. Now France are among the favourites to win the tournament again in Qatar. The squad has yet to be revealed, but it's likely to include two of the world's best attackers, Kylian Mbappé and Karim Benzema.
Karim Benzema pretty much won the Champions League on his own with Real Madrid, and Kylian Mbappé, by staying in PSG, stays in a club he knows. It gets rid of any doubts, and unless he was to be injured, he should be in good shape in Qatar. The France team has all the players you need to have a great World Cup, but the key will be whether they can play well together.
There's little doubt that a third World Cup win for France would certainly inspire a whole new generation of footballers.
At this amateur club in Paris, hopes are high for a France victory.
We love football, so all of us coaches would be really happy, as it would motivate the children because the French team would show them how to lead.
I'll watch the World Cup with my dad. I like this game. That's why I play.
I'd be pleased because it's my country and it would be a miracle.
The last time a team won consecutive World Cups, it was Brazil in 1962. As reigning champions, France will be under increased pressure as they defend their title. But they'll also know that having done it before, they could do it again. Natasha Butler, Al Jazeera, Paris.
France first won the World Cup back in 1998, but in 2002 finished bottom of their group. David Trezeguet was part of both of those teams. He told Al Jazeera that the current squad has the quality to go all the way and retain the trophy.
France are the team to beat because they're the world champions. They've got great quality individually and as a team. I see them getting to the final, even though the competition will be intense. Kylian Mbappé is the figurehead of the team. Even if there's quality throughout the whole squad, he's going to be the player who will really show his qualities. I think he's going to have an exceptional World Cup.
So David Trezeguet there sounding pretty confident about his country's chances. Andy, I'm going to ask you this one. Mm-hmm. So France are many people's favourites to retain the trophy, but they were also favourites for the Euros last year, had a pretty disappointing tournament by their standards. So how do you expect them to perform in Qatar?
Better. Mm-hmm. Much better, Gemma, I think. They did expect to do really well. They probably expected to go all the way in the Euros, and they were really disappointing. Some of the big players didn't turn up. I don't know why, but they didn't. But that, if you're a footballer, that will make the players that were there more determined to have a really good World Cup this time round. And when you have someone like Kylian Mbappé, and let's not forget Karim Benzema, I mean, two of the best front men in world football, you can't argue with that. When you have them, as long as you're not conceding goals, you will always have a chance to win. Whether they'll be the... Well, I think they'll be the favourites, but there are other teams there that can beat them, but I think I can understand why a lot of people think that France could go all the way.
And Javi, Andy there just mentioned Karim Benzema. Mm-hmm. He's having, you know, a fantastic time of it at the moment. One of your former managers, Carlo Ancelotti, mm-hmm. he's obviously his manager at Real Madrid, has called him the best in the world right now.
Wow.
How key is he to France's success at the tournament?
Well, if we are talking about players, for me, France is the favourite. It's, as he said, Karim, Kylian, also in the defence, not only attacking the defence, they have big players.
Yes.
And Karim, if he continues playing like this, like he's playing now or in the last 5-6 months, he can be the key of the tournament, not only of France, the tournament, because he's, for me, the best player of the world right now. In the last half year, he has been for me the... Not half year. One year. The last year, he has been the best, better than the others, in my opinion.
Paul Pogba, he's a big doubt for the tournament. He's got a knee injury. Andy, if Pogba isn't fit for the tournament, how much of a miss would that be for France, do you think?
Well, it depends which Paul Pogba turned up, Gemma. If it's the Paul Pogba that's played for 18 months at Manchester United, then you know, they're not going to miss
France.
It. Yeah.
There's one who plays with France and one
who plays
with...
But if it's the one who played in the last World Cup with France, then they will miss him terribly,
correct,
yeah.
I think after Karim and Kylian is the most important.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
The way he plays
to,
is...
He has to play his best.
Yeah, as he plays with France. Yes. When he plays with France, I don't know, he's the best midfielder in the world.
Now, we're going to move on to talking about Cristiano Ronaldo, who surely only has one more chance to win the World Cup with Portugal. Along with Lionel Messi, Ronaldo's probably still the biggest star in world football, even at the age of 37. He's won pretty much everything at club level with Manchester United, Real Madrid and Juventus. He won the European Championship with Portugal in 2016, but like Messi, he's yet to claim the biggest prize in world football. Let's show you their group then. Portugal qualified for the tournament via the playoffs and will line up against Ghana, Uruguay and South Korea in Group H. Andy, Ronaldo, you watch the Premier League week in, week out. He's having a pretty turbulent time at United right now. He reportedly wants to leave the club. If he doesn't get the move away before the transfer window closes, do you think that could have any bearing on how he performs in Qatar?
He'll want to play. There's no doubt about that, Gemma. And he'll want to play more than he's doing at Manchester United. He'll want to start football matches and he'll want to play as much football as he can, keeping his body as fit as he can at 37, 38 years of age. And I think that it doesn't matter if he plays a bit or he plays a lot. He's going to be in the squad. They're not going to leave him out. They're not
Absolutely.
Going to say to him, you haven't,
a given, isn't it?
You haven't played enough games, Cristiano, so we can't take you.
Yeah.
So he'll be there. Can he drive them? I don't think he can now.
Ooh.
I think he can against weaker sides, but I think when it comes to the quarterfinals and the semifinals, if he comes up against some of the more strong nations, I think that he might struggle in a tournament that's congested as much as it is.
Well, Javi, you have played against Ronaldo in your career. Do you agree with what Andy's just said there, that he might possibly struggle at the tournament in the latter stages?
I think Portugal can be the surprise of the tournament.
Yeah, I agree.
It's not only Ronaldo. They have a very good team. Mm-hmm. They have big stars, also young players, a mix between young and old players. And I think they can create problems to, I think, all the teams of the tournament. But we will see how, as you said, how Ronaldo arrives to the tournament. I think... we know Ronaldo, he will be fit,
He'll be fit.
Even if he doesn't play any game.
He'll be there.
He will be fit. He will be fit and he's a big tournament guy. He's always ready for Champions League CAO games, for World Cup. He will be there for sure. In my case, for example, when I feel better is when I play games, you know.
Absolutely.
The first month of the tournament or the league, I don't feel 100%. I feel after 2 months, you know, maybe because I'm tall and I need, you know, I'm this kind of explosive player. I'm more like a diesel, you know, not gasoline. And but I think Cristiano is different. He's a monster. He's a beast. And I think even if he stays at Manchester United, he will play games.
But knowing Ronaldo, he wants to play every minute of every game. That's what he is.
Absolutely.
That's what's made him the footballing animal that he is. His desire to be the best. And he achieved it.
He certainly has. Well, from Portugal's talisman to Wales's main man, Gareth Bale. He's preparing to lead his country to their first World Cup in 64 years. It was his deflected free kick that secured their place at Qatar 2022 in the playoff against Ukraine, which means the five-time Champions League winner now gets to play on football's biggest stage. And Wales are in a group with England, the USA and Iran. Well, Andy, you certainly know a thing or two about rivalries in British football. Admittedly, the rivalry with England and Wales isn't the kind of, you know, intensity of England, Scotland or England, Germany. Mm-hmm. But, it's
It'll
like a derby game, isn't it? Absolutely. So
it'll be there, Gemma.
Who do you think is going to be more fired up, the England or the Wales players?
Oh, they both will be. I mean, Wales will be fired up more because they'll be the underdogs. No one will expect Wales, apart from the Wales players themselves and their fans. Most people will expect England, if they play to their capabilities, that will beat Wales because, quite simply, they've got better players. The only thing that worries me about England is I look at them and from the Euros, which they did go close, they've got a bunch of really, really talented footballers, really talented, a good age in areas of the pitch that you need, the midfield and particularly at the top end of the pitch. What worries me is at the other end. If they defend well, then I think England could go really far in the tournament, but they have to defend well.
When you say really far, you're talking winners? For a Scottish man to say that is
You can't ask a Scotsman to say England will win. I think they could
Well, I have.
No, you have. I think they could get to the final again.
OK.
There you go.
OK, well, Javier, word on Gareth Bale. Sorry. Do you think there is a team at this World Cup that relies on a single player more than Wales rely on Gareth Bale?
I'm going to be honest with you. I think Gareth Bale is the only Welsh player I know.
Yes, probably.
No, really, I don't know.
I can give you another one. You will know him. Aaron Ramsey.
Ah, yeah, I know. I know him. I didn't watch many games of Wales this year, but Gareth is in top form. He's one of the best.
Certainly Wales, if Bale turns up and plays and it's a good World Cup, they might get out of that group. It won't be easy for them, but they will be focused. And I don't think it's whether they beat England or not. Obviously, the USA and Iran are the two games that Wales will focus on as to win them. Yep. But if they took a point from England, they'd be delighted.
Well, I think a lot of people are looking forward to that match. Unlike the rest of Europe, the Premier League has never had a winter break, and the prospect of it has made managers like Liverpool's Jurgen Klopp very unhappy. But what effect will the change really have on the leagues, the players and the World Cup itself? Paul Rees reports from London.
This is an English season like no other. It started early, it will finish late, with an unprecedented six-week break in the middle for the World Cup in Qatar.
I'm not against it because I know that we've got to have competitions elsewhere around the world.
I think it's absolutely ridiculous. It's not really fair on the players.
The last thing I want is for our momentum to be broken.
It's nice, to be honest. I think by then we'll probably be in a relegation battle.
Unlike other European leagues, England never has a winter break. For managers, the halt to their work is causing heated emotions.
I was not angry at all before I came in, but when we start talking about it, I really get angry. Everybody knows it's not right. This World Cup happens in the wrong moment for the wrong reasons.
Club interests aside, what is the impact on the players?
Normally when a World Cup kicks off, players have had little time to recover from a grueling season with their clubs. This time, at least in theory, they'll be arriving in Qatar in peak condition.
Their condition may not be quite as good when returning to their clubs.
It will be a huge impact emotionally and physically on the guys who go to World Cup. So they will come back drained, physically drained, but also mentally, like with big success, with big emotions, positive emotions or huge disappointment.
For the World Cup itself, the momentum could mean better performances and better matches.
It's a quick turnaround from the last Premiership game on the Sunday to when we play, so we won't need to top them up with regards to training sessions and look at what minutes they've played. That's the biggest difference for us.
A break for Qatar 2022 may be bad for club-obsessed English fans, good for the players, bad for the clubs. But as another heatwave hits London, no one can be totally certain that future World Cups will always take place in the European summer, even if they're held in Europe. Paul Rees, Al Jazeera, London.
Well, guys, we just heard from Thomas Tuchel and Jurgen Klopp there. Andy, have you got any sympathy with these managers at all? Do you think they just need to get on with it and accept the situation?
Correct. It's exactly what they need to do. I think that, from my recollection, Germany have always had a winter break, yeah?
We have.
The break for the winter.
Break, yes.
Klopp's coped with that. What they're saying about maybe emotionally, physically drained, possibly, if your team gets to the final. But these guys have been coaching when players have lost so many players to the African Cup of Nations. Every 2 years, they go away for 4 or 5 weeks in January and come back. OK, I guess Liverpool would say, well, when Salah came back, his disappointment of not getting the African Cup of Nations, losing it, it affected him. But Sadio Mane came back and he was, we've won it, I'm buzzing. So I understand what you're saying, but really, Gemma, in the world where we have 25 players all capable of playing first-team football for the teams, and only two teams will get to the final. We don't know how many of Jurgen Klopp's players will be in that final, if any. We don't know yet. So I can understand where he's coming from, but do I have any sympathy? No, we should try these things. I think the players themselves, who are going to compete in the World Cup, as was reported there, they arrive fitter than they will have ever been.
Do you think that's going to affect the quality of the football? Do you think we're going to see perhaps the best quality football we've ever seen at a World Cup?
I hope so.
These fresher players.
Well, let me tell you, the players will never have arrived at a major tournament in better physical condition than they will this, unless they're injured, of course, they will this tournament.
In my case, the best form was in November, December.
There you go.
And just quickly about the quick turnaround. So the main European leagues, they're finishing for the World Cup 12th, 13th of November. So some of these teams are maybe only going to have like 7 or 8 days before their first match. How will that affect them not getting with their national side sooner?
1 week is enough.
I agree. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes you can have too much time.
Sure.
You know, with players
who go in.
You're sitting in a hotel for 2 weeks, you're thinking, oh, I get up again, another training session. And I actually think the shortness of time is better for the guys.
Qatar, I think they are for 4 months in the camp.
Yes, right.
4 months.
I mean, goodness me. How would they feel?
Well, with all that time to prepare, surely they should be winning the thing. Yeah. Anyway, time now to catch you up on what's been happening here in the host country, Qatar, where there's now less than 100 days to go until the World Cup kicks off. It was brought forward by 1 day to allow for Qatar to play in the first game. They'll now face Ecuador on November 20th, along with the opening ceremony.
There's a huge excitement. It was building up over the last 12 years, but 100 days to go, you can feel it, you can touch it, you can taste it. And I think it's a matter of just, you know, the final countdown now.
The venue for the World Cup final, Lusail Stadium, has held its first match in the domestic Qatar Stars League. The 80,000-seater facility is the last of the 8 stadiums to be completed. It'll stage 10 games in the tournament altogether. The stadiums have been designed to help the organisers achieve their goal of staging the first carbon-neutral World Cup. Natasha Ghanem reports.
Carbon dioxide, or CO2 emissions, soared to a record level last year. By several indexes, Qatar ranks high globally when it comes to CO2 emissions per capita. This November, the Gulf nation is pledging to host the first ever carbon-neutral World Cup.
A lot of people will come to the Qatar by air, but the activities here within Qatar is designed in such a way that all the emissions associated, there will be a limited emissions, and these emissions will be balanced.
The layout of stadiums over a small geographic area means once fans land in Qatar, they'll travel a relatively short distance by metro, electric bus, or car to matches in stadiums built with sustainability in mind. After football's premier spectacle is over, the CO2 emissions during the 28 days will be offset by investing in carbon credits. But a report by Carbon Market Watch says Qatar 2022's carbon neutral plan is misleading and based on what it calls creative calculations.
It is highly unlikely that this World Cup is going to be carbon neutral. It is not a credible claim, and there is a big risk that it's going to mislead the public into thinking that this has no impact on the climate, when actually it definitely does.
The organizing committee says Qatar's historic ambitions should be recognized, not criticized. It points to the almost 1 million square meters of green space created and a new solar power plant that will generate renewable energy for years after the tournament ends.
We stand by our planning, we stand by our calculations, and we stand by our plans to offset what's remaining in the best possible way with the best information that we have.
A team from Qatar University will be setting up weather monitoring stations and sharing the daily air quality with fans during the World Cup. The hope is it will spread awareness about the impact we have on the climate and how to reduce our carbon footprint. Natasha Ghanem, Al Jazeera, Doha.
Javi, I'm interested to get your take on the compact nature of this World Cup. So you've been to World Cups in South Africa and Brazil, so that would have involved a lot of travelling between fixtures. So I want to know, how much of a game changer is this going to be for the players to have such short travel times?
One of the things that we hate the most is the travel, you know, to... In South Africa, I remember we had like maybe 3-4 hours flight. Then also the road was, you know, not the best. But here it's 20 minutes. You go to the stadium, 25 minutes you go to the training field. I think this is going to be a big impact for the fans and for the players. It's going to be very nice. And as I said, as fun, you can watch 3 games in a World Cup. That never happened. It's amazing. Mm-hmm.
You say the impact on the players, do you mean in like a physical sense, perhaps recovery between matches? Or?
Yeah, also. It's true. To fly 3-4 hours after a game is not the best. Mm-hmm. If you can go directly to the hotel to rest, it's much better.
Before we wrap this up, Javi, I'll ask you first. Mm-hmm. Who is going to win the World Cup? Put you on the spot.
I know what he's going to say.
No.
Not who you'd like to win the World Cup, who you think is going to win the World Cup.
I tell you my wish, and I tell you
Okay.
My wish is, of course, Spain.
Yep.
But I think if I have to bet, I will say Argentina.
Argentina? Okay, Andy?
I think Argentina will go close. I agree with you 100% on that. If I was choosing a team to win the World Cup, I would go with most at the moment, and say that I think France will be the team to beat.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, not long to wait to find out if any of your predictions are correct with the World Cup kicking off in November. Javi, Andy, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Well, next month, we'll be switching continents to focus on the North and Central American teams. That'll be heading to Qatar as we get ever closer to November's main event. And of course, Al Jazeera will keep you right up to date every step of the way.